Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is Piano Jazz. I'm sitting in for Marian McPartland today, and my guest is singer-pianist Lawston Harris. His style is contemporary and stylish, while being joyful and soulful at the same time, which makes him an immensely satisfying musician. His music is a combination of humanity and genius. Lawston, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's absolutely wonderful to be here with you to explore this wonderful world of music.
Yeah, this is the first time we've actually gotten to work together. It's always either me checking you out or you've come in by the Carlisle, and we never really get to collaborate, so this is going to be fun.
Well, yes, indeed. I so enjoy listening to you, and I'm dazzled by what you do in the club, and I find that every night is different. When I work in clubs, I find that there's a different energy. Do you find that that affects the way that you play?
Absolutely. There's nights when you could hear a pin drop, and it's almost as if we're in a concert hall. And then there's other nights where it's rowdy. You'll get a big party that's coming in from the Whitney Museum or some event, and we kind of have to deal with the noise level. But my first piano teacher, the great Ellis Marsalis, he said there's a way to play that makes people listen. So we keep the music joyful. We keep people tapping, tapping their feet. And it's a joy just to be able to share the gift with all those that pop in. We just brighten their day for a little minute.
You sure brighten mine, my days and my nights. For people who don't know, Lawston plays regularly, or seasonally, we should say, at the Bemelman's Bar in the Carlisle Hotel. And during the times that you're not there, you're off concertizing and recording and doing many other things.
Yeah, it's been 7 years at Bemelman's. It's a blessing. So
yeah, 7 years, good luck.
Yeah, I'd say. There you go.
How did you discover standards?
Francis Albert Sinatra.
Oh yeah.
I have to be perfectly honest. That's when I first discovered the words
right.
to standards. I was playing songs, T for Two, and I had a jazz trio, just piano, bass, drums, before I was singing. So I was playing standards, listening to Ahmad Jamal, Errol Garner, and the great piano players, Oscar Peterson, different players for different reasons, Art Tatum, so many different genres. I mean, and you're doing on a jazz gig, it's like, guys show up and try to cover 60 years of music in one night, in three sets. So I've come to find, from my style, a happy blend between Errol Garner, Ahmad Jamal, and a little bit of Oscar Peterson here and there. But that's just kind of where my hands fall when I touch the instrument.
Would you play something?
Yeah, I would like to play a tune by Fats Waller.
One of the great, great, amazing pianists as well as great writers.
And this is called the Jitterbug Waltz. Every time I hear the song, I think of Ellis Marsalis, who I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him, because I was a percussion major at Virginia Commonwealth University. And he said, you don't need to be playing the drums, you need to be playing the piano. He kind of heard me goofing off one day. Mm-hmm. And so that changed my life, and I always think of him when I think of this song, Jitterbug Waltz.
Did you first learn that from Fats Waller's original recording? How did you come to the Jitterbug Waltz? Because that's a thing that's been reinterpreted through the years. And, of course, Fats Waller was not only a great writer, but a fantastic pianist.
Yes, I first learned this melody by transcribing. Ellis Marsalis recorded it on one of his trio CDs. So I went back and recently I downloaded the Fats Waller recording. not to my surprise side, but it was exactly the way it was meant to be played. So I was thinking, well, if I copy Ellis's version, maybe I'm putting in nuances that he,
were his.
He would. Yeah, but yes. No, Fats. When I listened to Fats Waller, Ellis was copying Fats Waller. That's how I came to know that song. I just always think of him, Ellis, when I hear it, because he had such an impact on my life when I was a student at Virginia Commonwealth.
Well, he's the one who converted you from a drumming major to a piano major?
Yes, yeah. Well, it's a wild story.
But. Yeah, now how old were you when you started to study music as a drummer, and then at what age did you switch to piano?
Age 9, started with percussion. And I switched to piano at 21.
21?
Yes.
That's late in the game, but obviously that's what you were meant to do.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he heard something that was just, he says, you're just at home naturally. And he stayed after class and helped me to develop the gift.
Interesting. Yet there is so much of the percussive influence in your playing.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a tremendous advantage because it gives you a unique sound.
Well, it is a percussion instrument, I mean, technically speaking, but I still have it inside of me. I guess I just use it in different ways now. So
yeah, you manifest it differently. Mm. Now, playing and singing, you do a good deal of that mm-hmm. now, and that's something that you've evolved.
Yeah, after I first heard Nat King Cole, and it blew my mind. I was on tour with Wynton Marsalis, and all the time, you know, he would talk about just the history of, you know, Jelly Roll Morton, mm. and, you know, Thelonious Monk going back. So after I got off the tour, I went back once again deeper, came up through this jazz piano lineage, you know, came up to Earl Father Hines and so forth, and I get to Nat Cole, who kind of patterned his style a bit after Earl Hines. I just heard him singing. I said, you know, I've been playing a lot of these songs instrumentally, but people would like to hear the words, or I'd like to know the words. I'd like to give a shot at this, and that's kind of where I'm at. I want to kind of keep this music alive, and I think the words and the melodies need to be heard.
Well, that you're doing beautifully. Would you do a number that was sung and played by Nat Cole?
I would love to do that. This is one by the great Bobby Troup, Route 66.
If you ever plan to motor west, take the highway, that's my way, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. And get your kicks on Route 66. St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City looks mighty pretty. You'll see Amarillo and Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kingman, Boston, San Bernardino.
How often do you write music? Is that a muse that you feel is it's untapped?
The past couple, 2 or 3 years, I haven't been. I've been focusing more on arrangements of standards. There was a time when I was writing quite a bit and interjecting some of the originals into my act, and every now and then someone would say, "What is that song from?" I have my partner Leonard Greenberg, who writes the lyrics, and then I come up with the music and the melodies. And it's been a while since I've gotten back to the composing, and I need to do that.
Do you feel there's more to say in songwriting? I mean, sometimes I'll do an interview and I'll say, you know, if there was never another song written, we would have enough. And I say that as a songwriter. I mean, I enjoy writing songs, but sometimes I feel like in some ways there is an expression for everything.
Yeah. And as you know, the history of the Great American Songbook, just to get inside of it and to learn melodies the way they're supposed to be played and sang, and I think You know, once you get familiar with that, then you can take that to composition. At least you have, you know, I tend to gravitate towards some composers more than like Sammy Kahn, Jimmy Van Heusen, that team, you know. And, they kind of have similar devices, and I just think we have a lot of big shoulders to stand on. You know, they paved the way, so we're just keeping it alive. I'm not sure if there's much more to say. They said a lot.
Yeah, it's all a lineage, isn't it?
Oh, it's great, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because sometimes a standard, a song that is known in one way becomes a jazz standard and is interpreted differently. And sometimes those changes in interpretations become the way the song is known.
Mm.
And
very true.
Certain melodies are changed forever, like Lover Man. The actual melody of that is, I don't know why I'm feeling so bad. But when Billie Holiday sang, I don't know why I'm feeling so bad, I've never heard anybody not do it the way Billie Holiday did.
Right, yeah.
So certain things have become etched in that way. And there's a number that I'm going to do called I Can't Get Started that was introduced by Bob Hope on Broadway. It was a Broadway tune. It was not a hit. Then a couple years later, Bunny Berrigan made a record of it, and it became a hit several years after thing was written. And it always bothered Ira Gershwin, who wrote the lyrics, that Bunny Berrigan changed the lyrics, and everybody sang the lyric the way Bunny Berrigan recorded it, and it wasn't the way Ira wrote it, and it had a double negative. Still, I can't not get started with you. And Ira said, people are going to think that I don't know how to write a lyric. Oh, for God's sake. And this is when he was 80 years old. He was still fretting over something that had happened, you know, 40 years earlier. So songs change.
Well, I remember you saying they labored over those, every word, every lyric. I think once we were talking about it was a foggy day. I viewed the morning with much alarm. That much is not in there.
It's not in there. Sinatra put it in there. And
it stuck. I still do it by accident.
Yeah, well, it's hard not to. It's hard not to sing it that way because I view the morning with alarm. Well, that pause was in the original, but most people don't want to do it anymore.
Wow.
Well, I'd like to do this one
with
the way that I originally wrote the lyric.
Okay.
I'm a glum one. It's explainable I met someone. Unattainable, life's a bore. The world is my oyster, no more. All the papers where I led the news with my capers. Now we'll spread the news. Superman turns out to be Flash in the pan. I've flown around the world in a plane. I've settled revolutions in Spain.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.